Utah residents were asked to take the H2 oath during the summer of 2016, promising to do things like taking shorter showers and avoiding lawn watering during midday hours. And while that might make a difference in residential water use, it doesn't address some of the larger water supply and water quality issues facing the state. Utah voters put water supply and quality in the number 6 spot in the Utah Priorities Project survey for this election year. We'll be hearing two voices about the big picture for water in our state. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. There were a couple of water quality crises in the summer of 2016. One was the closure of Utah Lake because of a toxic algae bloom. Low water levels, warm temperatures, and high levels of pollutants from municipal wastewater and agricultural runoff fed an explosion of poisonous blue-green algae that closed the lake to recreation and even limited irrigation in some communities. And a project to replace the Tibble Fork Dam near the top of American Fork Canyon led to the deaths of hundreds of fish when the river picked up sludge from mining waste accumulated in reservoir sediments and carried it downstream. Walt Baker, the head of Utah's Division of Water Quality, says dealing with that required routing the stream flow around the sediments.
It's not going to be picking up and cutting that sediment that is the remainder of decades of deposition. And so that is helping to reduce the problem. Mm-hmm. And when our attention will then turn to the long-term effects, clean up, what needs to occur there, how big of a problem is this, and how extensive the cleanup activity will be.
Another body of water where more than a century of pollution may come back to haunt us is the Great Salt Lake. The water level in the lake has been dropping for more than a decade, and it's approaching its historic lows. Dust blowing from the mudflats that now surround the lake could carry some of that back to the Wasatch Front communities where it originated as municipal waste and industrial discharges. The Great Salt Lake is the end of the line for any kind of drainage or runoff from Utah's populated areas. In the past, any water that wound up there was seen as wasted. But Baker says we may need to take a different view of its value.
When every other user of water has their draw, then the Great Salt Lake gets the remainder. I think we need to change that philosophy, and if we value that ecosystem, we prescribe an amount of water that can go there, minimum flows.
Upstream diversion projects, such as a proposed dam on the Bear River, could limit the water that now reaches the Great Salt Lake and the biologically important wetlands surrounding it. Creating new water supply infrastructure is on the minds of water district managers like Gene Shawcroft, who heads up the Central Utah Water Conservancy District in Orem. Utah Foundation research projects a possible doubling of Utah's population by 2050, and Shawcroft points out that those residents will have to get by with the same amount of water nature is providing today.
Our lives would be simple if we just simply had, if someone told us, we're not going to grow anymore, we don't need any more people, we don't need any more water projects. That would be wonderful. That's not the case. The population is coming. We will need every conceivable method to provide water into the future. Conservation and development need to occur simultaneously. Whatever the better option is for a local area needs to be explored and pursued. Conservation is something that we've put a lot of emphasis on. We continue to do that, but it's not, well, let's conserve to this point and then we'll build.
Shawcroft points out that water infrastructure, such as the still unfinished Central Utah project, takes decades to build. That's one reason why he says property taxes on the communities they serve are an appropriate way to pay for them, in spite of criticism that water user fees might be a fairer way to allocate the cost.
It takes, in the case of the Central Utah project, it took 20 years from the time the construction started until water was able to be delivered. And so if you put the burden solely on the back of the ratepayers from day one, there's no financial capacity to pay for it. How do you pay for something for 20 years before you use it?
Shawcroft's view is widely held among the state's water managers, but it's not universal with Utah voters. 40% of those responding to the 2016 Utah Priorities Project survey agreed with the statement the state should focus on water conservation measures rather than building new infrastructure. At the same time, new legislation sets aside some of the state's sales tax revenue in an account for future water infrastructure projects, over the objections of those who say Utah needs to look at other ways to meet its future water needs. Utah Foundation is a nonpartisan public policy research group funded by business, philanthropic foundations, higher education, local government, and individual donations. Founded in 1945, our mission is to promote a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, and a high quality of life for Utahns. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.